And welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Nick.
Khaleesi started the fire. It's been always burning since the world's been turning.
Nice. Went a little Billy Joel action there.
There you go. Well, Billy Joel was in San Diego.
He was. He was.
Everybody I know on Facebook that's from San Diego was at the, even people I don't know, were at the concert. So
he puts on a great show. I saw Colleen and I saw him in Raleigh, and we're going to see him in Madison Square Garden in New York. You know, missing your birthday, probably.
Well, that makes sense. If I would have known he was there, I would have offered to drive him because I know that he has issues driving.
Anyway, we are here to talk about another fantastic episode of Game of Thrones. The end of this episode was just like, yeah!
Meow!
Yeah! Meow!
You think they learn, though. Shouldn't word get out that, you know, you got fire around here? Don't mess with her with the fire. If this happens again to somebody, I'm just going to say you deserve it.
The Dothraki are a proud race. They don't care, you know.
Oh, they seem to care. They seem to care when it was going down.
Where do you think the adage "long hair don't care" came from? It came from the Dothraki.
Is that what it came from?
Yeah.
They don't care. They didn't even care about that guy's head crushed in. He's like, screw him.
That was a good guy, but screw him. He's dead.
It happens. We can't make it look like he was stabbed.
So let's crush his head in. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it feels like if this is truly the penultimate season, and I think we've talked about before maybe where they might split up the last season into two separate seasons, kind of a Breaking Bad kind of deal. Is that what the rumor is, Nick?
That's what the rumor is. They said that they had 13 episodes. At least that's what I envisioned it. They were going to split it to 7 and 6. And it's like, just give us all 13 in one season.
So next season's the end?
Well, they might split it to 2 years or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're going to spread it out over 2 years.
Maybe.
All right. If they do that, I'm not watching.
But with that in mind, the pacing of this season, it seems to be some of the best pacing we've seen in any season because it feels like the story is moving forward at a faster pace than we've ever seen it before on the show.
I agree. Yeah, like they're not really giving us any hints or anything or dragging anything out other than like Bran's visions. They're just kind of like, oh, here it is, boom. And then the next thing will be boom. It's just no segues. Let's just do it.
Sometimes it takes, 7 years for a Stark reunion, but this, it was only like the fourth episode in. You got Stark like right at the beginning. So
how did they recognize each other?
They look the same.
No, they don't.
Sansa's like a giant compared to.
Sansa's like she's changed. I mean, she's changed.
But still the same face.
I don't know. She looked completely. I wouldn't recognize her. I mean, Jon Snow. He's wearing his man bun thing there. So
you're just jealous.
And he was clean shaven.
Clean shaven. You're right.
I'm no longer Lord Commander. So stop giving me the notes. Stop bugging me.
He's a little moody.
Is he from Liverpool?
Yeah, I don't know. He bugs me.
It's actually in... this has kind of come around since the last time we did the podcast, but have you noticed that they're pretty free-willing with the Jon Snow is alive information right now, like the cast and everything like that? Because the most recent Entertainment Weekly, or was it last week's Entertainment Weekly, on the front cover... Kit Harington, it says Jon Snow is alive on the cover, front cover.
Mm-hmm. It does on the cover, yes.
So only one week after they said it, I was like, man, I would be really pissed if I was only a week behind.
Yeah, or like if it was someone like me who only wants to read the books, and then all of a sudden you see that cover, you're like, well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, it.
Did they take any? Because I have the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, I watched the show.
You know what they should have done is they should have like just made a cover that said "spoiler alert," and then you open that cover, and then it gives you the Kit Harington cover. That to me would have been better.
Put like the old Playboy. Put it in a brown paper cover.
just like hashtag spoiler alert for Game of Thrones, and then so that way you just avoid it. But if it's on the front cover, if it's on a newsstand, that's pretty cold. Like that's kind of messed up a little bit.
I'd be ticked.
Has anybody, like, in conversations with people, I don't know anybody besides you guys, so I haven't heard anybody upset, but has anybody, you know, heard any backlash from this at all?
No.
I have not.
That's surprising me. I would think it'd maybe cause a big uproar. But even, did you guys see Kit Harington's interview on The Tonight Show? He kind of talked about how he was trying to keep it quiet.
Got out of a ticket.
Yep, he got out of a ticket. Which I don't know if that's a true story or not, but...
I'm waiting for Kit to call me back. We're trying to get him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Hasn't returned my call.
If I'm the worst producer ever, you're the worst talent acquisition manager.
The worst, really?
Yeah,
the worst?
The worst. Kit,
if you're listening, call us anytime.
Again, the pacing seems amazing. And be excited to talk about it today as we recap the fourth episode. Before we do that, we want to thank people that make this show possible, our patrons over at patreon.com/JayandJack. That's patreon.com/JayandJack. Or if you just want to go the simple way, go to jayandjack.com, click on the Become a Patron. To become a patron today, contribute $1 or more a month, and it helps make this show possible. So a big thanks to all of those that do so. Also, this month is Power Month over at Loot Crate. So if you go to lootcrate.com/JayandJack, and there's an additional code to get a discount. If you enter Jay and Jack in the discount code, it will give you a discount on your order. So the already incredibly reasonably priced box will be even more awesomer. So check it out over lootcrate.com/JayandJack. Promo code JANJACK.
Part of the gift this year, this month I found out, it's a thing that says Jon Snow's alive. So
if they're listening to the show, then they should be fine, right?
Well, because we're spoiling it too. If you're giving it to someone who's not caught up with the show, they'll open up and say, Jon Snow lives!
So. like a jack-in-a-box?
Yeah. Jon Snow lives. Jon Snow lives. Jon Snow lives.
Oh man! All right. Well, without further ado,
But he's not smiling. You'd think a guy that would come back from life, you know, back from the dead. I mean.
But here's the problem. This is why he's not smiling. Is he? When he died, nothing happened. So he knows that, at least from his perspective, nothing happens when you die, which is kind of a scary proposition to a certain extent, because you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're going
to
be alive.
But then it's better to be alive. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
So enjoy your second chance at life. Stop being such a bait.
But anywho.
Well, he is a little bit.
But if I can give some kudos to Nick, who actually installed a gigantic satellite dish on the side of his rural home to increase his upload speed from 0.06 to currently 0.9% or 0.9 megabits per second.
Of 1 megabyte, yeah, per second.
But so hopefully the audio quality on Nick here is better today. But thanks to Nick for even holding a landline phone to record the past couple weeks.
I thought he ran a cable from the one person in Tennessee that has the internet.
It was actually a can. It was the two cans of the string.
Yeah. Pa, can you hear me? Pa!
You have to hold that string really tight now.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But without any further ado, let's jump into this episode.
All right.
Nick's like, all right, whatever.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
With my fancy internet.
Okay, just say something real quick. I'm just looking at the cast here and the different actors. IMDb.
It's IMDb.
Whatever it is. And the one person, Porta Graham Jones, is listed as whore. So.
Do you put that on resume? Occupation whore.
Whore. Well, yeah.
I have references.
What did you play? I'm the whore. I played the whore. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Carry on, Nick.
Okay. So we start out at the wall. I have a zoomed in shot of Longclaw. And Ed is helping Jon Snow pack his apparent one bag. Because I don't remember him coming to the wall with any luggage. But they had to sell it. Like, here's your one thing to take with you.
Well, it was Samsonite, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're going to travel, you got to have durable luggage.
It's true. It's very true.
And he asks John, where you think about going? He goes, south. Because where else is he going to go? someplace warm. And then Ed, of course, you know, starts giving him crap. Because he's like, you're leaving the Night's Watch. You know, you swore a vow. And he's like, they killed me. And you want me to stay? Like, what the heck?
I did my time.
So, wait, is he Keanu Reeves? Is that what we're saying here?
I'm an FBI agent. I went to Ohio State.
Anyway, carry on.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, and then he had to. Plus, I'd be pissed too if I had to get a haircut.
I look sharp.
Did he get a haircut?
Oh. Well, Melisandre cut his hair. Remember?
Yeah, remember she was cutting the pieces of her hair. She was also an.
She was up small.
That actress was also in Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just saying. She was saying that her mom would have been happy at the scene because. Jon Snow, Kit carrying, well, he was naked, so, but she's a big fan. The mom's a big fan of Kit, so.
Carry Aren't on. We all?
But a horn blows from the outside, and Ed and Jon looking sharp. Oh, yeah. And we see that it's Brienne, Sansa, and Podrick have arrived at the wall in one episode.
I know, like, holy crap.
They move fast.
I know, I was just like, again, it's all these years of the show's pacing before where it's just like, I wouldn't expect this episode 7. Holy crap, what are we doing?
Well, to be fair, Sansa has been stuck in, you know, Joffrey had her, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, she finally was the one person that they finally let loose. She goes, I know how to move.
Yes. Oh, man. But yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And then she dismounts her horse and looks around, and then Jon and Ed are there on the porch, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And
rocking on the porch.
The porch, yeah. His name is Rocker, yeah.
Ed was playing a banjo.
He was. That boy could play. And then they walk out. There's a slight pause there, and then a great embrace. You know, finally we see some Starks reunite.
Oh, my God.
Reunited. And it feels so good.
So tearjerker.
Well, you know, it's for so long, the Starks just have not caught a break.
Well, you know, it's been so long, I forgot they were related.
But, God, it's just like, yes. And then you realize, there's actually a lot of Starks left. This is awesome. Oh, wait, he's going to probably kill some more.
Yeah.
Mm. But, no, just really awesome. Item,
then someone's going to lose their head. Someone's going to be killed.
Yeah, yeah, and this was kind of a bit strange, even though they haven't seen each other and they've matured, which they address in the next little scene here. It was because Sansa was never really warm to Jon. It was always Arya and Jon that were close because she didn't see him as her half-brother. She just saw him as her brother, whereas in Sansa was more elite, you know, like, oh, well, you're just the best.
Well, Sansa was kind of a brat.
Yeah, she was a brat. And you can see that in season one. Yeah.
But everything that's happened to Sansa...
Of course.
She's learned that, you know, I don't say from her mistakes, but she's the one that did want to go marry Joffrey.
I love him.
But in all fairness, that's like any kind of teen girl. Just like teen boys, they only got one thing on their mind. It's just like it's the hormones.
I guess, but Sansa, she was a brat. She was.
Right. I mean, she's a typical teenage girl who, like, she's like, she liked the idea. She's like, I'm going to be queen. I'm going to have power. You know, my kids are going to be the prince and the princess. And, you know, she wasn't thinking about Joffrey. She was thinking about what her future would be.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
But, yeah, they're sitting there, and she does apologize. She's like, you know, I'm sorry I treated you so horribly. To which Jon, I mean, that's what we were saying earlier. Like, Jon since he's come back, he seems to have that huge chip off his shoulder. I mean, he's laughing, he's carrying on, he's not sullen. You know, he even makes fun of himself, like, "Oh, me over there sitting in the corner, just being dark and miserable."
You know, it just dawned on me though too. Sansa's had two of the worst people, been involved with two of the worst people in the history of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, honestly, like Ramsay makes Joffrey look like, you know, rainbows and kittens and unicorns,
which is scary.
It is scary, for sure.
Because I don't think Joffrey wasn't a nice guy. Whereas Ramsay, he's evil.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really good at peeling apples, though.
Yeah,
that he is. That without breaking a stride, just, you know.
Well, I guess if you're used to flaying humans, like, you know.
Yeah.
Add some flavor to it.
Well, they didn't have caramel, so, you know, blood apple is blood and flesh apple. Well,
That's how candied apple started, actually.
Who wants to bob for apples?
It's cherry. all right, let's go. Let's
yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, Sansa inquires about where will we go now, and John. You can see this little division in him, because John just really, I think, he wants to have peace. And it sounds like, no, we need to go back home to Winterfell. And he's like, oh, we'll just send a letter to the Bolton saying get out. And Sansa's like, we should just use the wildlings. I mean, she's just thinking more optimistically, and he's thinking more pessimistically. But he's like, I can't just command them to fight for us.
Yeah.
And she says, no, but we have to fight for our home. You know, the North will rally to you, you know. But if you don't want to help me, I'll do it on my own, but help me. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. I kind of made notes of it. There's a recurring theme of help in this episode. Like, everybody in almost every scene asks or says, I'm going to help you, or please help me. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, it's one of those things I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, what I liked about it was Sansa. It was not the girl we talked about earlier, the girl that just wanted to marry the king and be a queen and have. She's become almost like a leader. She's, you know, she's hardcore now.
Well, I think she's had these. Well, yeah, she's had these trying life experiences that's hardened her. And
she's at the point, I have nothing to lose. I want my home back.
Which is, again, so like last season when, you know, she first married Ramsay and he brutally raped her. Oh, there's a lot of controversy and a lot of pushback. Does this need to happen to drive this character forward? And will, you know, this better mean something? This better have a payoff.
There better be a payoff, yeah.
And I, you know, again, I'm not going to address whether this is meeting that, but at least at this point, she is showing that she is ready to take charge, and she isn't going to be. This more naive Sansa that we had before last season, or before this season. So it's a cool turn to see for this character. This character has gone through so much hardship to kind of channel a bit of her mother in Catelyn Stark and be a leader, which is pretty cool.
Mm. Absolutely.
As a book reader, Nick, because this is kind of all new. Does this seem appropriate for her character?
I think so. I mean, in the book, she's still in the Eyrie with Littlefinger. But I think that's her trajectory for sure, because she's been this weak, kind of easily taken advantage of character most of the time. But she will stand up for herself. I mean, they've done a good job of showing that trajectory of her in the show.
Nice.
Get up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then the next scene was actually I liked it. It was short, but I wanted more from it, because it's just like But you have Davos and Melisandre talking on a little bridge there, and he asks, "What's next for you?" And she said, "I'll do as Jon Snow commands. He is the prince that was promised." You know, and you can already see this kind of in the last episode where he just dismissed her when she started all this crazy religious talk. He's just like, "Forgive me, my lady, but I thought that was Stannis." to which she just walks off like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't want to hear it.
Oops.
I was wrong once. Yeah, oops.
Can we just call this whole scene and what's coming up hashtag awkward?
Awkward. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Well, that's what, but that's where she started having her doubts, remember?
No, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, she was doubting her ability.
Never again. But then she asks, is it Shireen?
Yeah, Davos wants to know. Yeah. He, like, obviously, he was, what's happened at the battle? We lost. Okay. But what about the princess? What happened to Shireen? Yeah. And this is what really I wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Because what's going to happen if she answers that question? You know, will Davos kill her?
Yeah.
But of course, Brienne has to interrupt and we don't get her answer. Man.
But does she not know this is season? This is season 6. So the pacing's different. We can get answers right away.
Yeah, go ahead. Off with her head.
but this is a really good scene with Brienne. I felt just because it was just so tense. Of he confessed to it. Stannis, that he killed his own brother. I was, I've met you before. I was part of Renly's Kingsguard, and she knows that magic was behind it. And she's just coldly looking at Melisandre going like, yeah, you're going to die. I'm going to kill you soon. And he kind of figured she'd want to go ahead and do it right then. As crazy as she's been.
But she goes, you don't want to see me without my necklace. But I that was a great scene, but I was like, come on, tell her. And she goes, I executed Stannis.
Ah. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, and you kind of wonder what Davos was thinking in that moment because, I mean, he loves Stannis.
But he's not a fighter, so what was he going to do? He couldn't take on Brienne. Brienne would kill him.
No.
But he knows, too, that you know, he was there when she birthed the Stannis smoke monster baby that ended up killing Renly. So I think from him, a man of honor, he should at least somewhat appreciate or, you know, her fulfilling her honor as, you know, Renly's protector.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he would do Brienne. Well, he couldn't do Brienne any harm, so.
True. And then the next scene, we moved on to the Vale, where young Robert Arryn is very poorly practicing his archery.
And, who is this? Oh, that's right. I forgot all about it.
Isn't it just everybody thinks, like, oh, this is the guy that's still sucking from his mama's teat? Like, every time.
That's what you think. You go, oh, he's a little bigger now.
Yeah. Still just as awkward.
Just think about it, because he's probably, what, you think, 13, 14 years old right now in life. Yeah. And he'll be forever known as the kid who was just, I mean, 35 years old, be like, hey, you're that guy sucking on those tits.
So you think it's better to be known as the whore than the tit sucker, right?
I think so.
I don't know.
Or the breastfeeding child, if it will be less vulgar.
Breastfeeding child. That's what it has it listed at. Breastfeeding child.
Well, breastfeeding 8-year-old.
There you go.
Not to criticize people that long-term breastfeed.
Hey, but if it's healthy and you guys want to do it, that's fine. I'm not here to judge.
Might be slightly judging, but no.
I can't even find. What's the actor's name? Anybody know?
Don't know.
The kid, no. I don't know, I do. But, yeah, Littlefinger arrives, and young Robert is really happy to see him. And Littlefinger presents him with a falcon because he missed his name day, which was
it's pretty awesome-looking
nice
falcon.
It was
a cool falcon,
You can see that his mind definitely hasn't improved no. Lord Arryn's, because he's just kind of like, oh, it's a – he's just like, wow. Easily distracted. And then Lord Royce – starts to inquire about Sansa Stark, and his suspicions about Littlefinger. Like, how in the world did she get to the north and marry Ramsay when you were supposed to go the opposite direction towards the Fingers? And Littlefinger, this was such cleverly done, the way Littlefinger does things. You know, like, we were ambushed, and they knew exactly where we were. And it's strange. The only person I told was you, Lord Royce. Of course, Lord Royce, like anybody, was like, you know, if you slander me, then we might just have a duel right here. But he goes, I don't care about your opinions. I only care about my lord's opinions, to which the kid just kind of looks up. It's like, ooh, Moondor? You know, like, he's just like, this guy's been training you how to shoot archery, and you're within just one word from Littlefinger. Yeah. He's willing to kill him on Littlefinger's word.
But be fair, the moon door is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I can't shoot this target, but I can definitely drop somebody through a hole into an abyss.
The actors will turn 16 in July.
Okay, it'll be 16 in July. Okay.
There you go.
So Littlefinger, though, in this moment, he's grinning. You know, you can see that smug grin Littlefinger has, because he's like, I've got you. No matter how much power you think you have, because you're the second most powerful lord in the Vale, I've got you right now. It's up to me whether you live or die. And, of course, you know, Lord Roy starts to beg, like, oh, you know, I've always been loyal to you, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, Littlefinger's just like, okay, we'll give him another chance. He could be important to us in the upcoming war. And it's just like, wow. I mean, if that's not going to silence you,
I was that lord, I'd be like, I'm going to kill that kid. You know, like what? I'm not going to let this guy just on a whim kill me.
But he's loyal. He can't do that.
I get it, but time to change the. Yep. You can't live life like a Stark. You got to, I don't know, protect yourself a little bit there. Eventually,
there's an honor and there's a code. So.
Yeah, I don't know. He could, because he is the second most powerful family in the Vale. He could have actually become the new Lord of the Vale if he did kill Robert Arryn. But I don't know that succession, because, you know, obviously Robert doesn't have any kids yet. But, I mean, Littlefinger is the protector of the realm right now. I mean, not the realm, but of that area. So that's why he commands him later to, you know, gather the soldiers, because he's kind of like the military head until Robert is fully grown. But so Littlefinger then tells Robert news of Sansa, that she's escaped Ramsay Bolton, and she's most likely heading for Castle Black. And he's kind of just leading.
Is it Robert or Robin?
I think it's Robert Arryn. It could be Robin, but I think it's probably just short for Robert. But
I'm looking it up right now. It says Robin.
Robin, okay, Robin Arryn.
I'm just going with what the internet's saying. I'm not.
And it's never wrong.
I would never trust the internet completely, though.
She said, well, you know, Robin says she's my cousin, so we should help her. You know, how happily he is. And Littlefinger says, I agree, my lord. And then turns to Lord Roy, said, gather the Knights of the Vale, basically saying we're going to go to war. And this is pretty interesting, because we can just kind of guess here if Jon Snow leads his 2,000 wildlings down from the north, and then you have Littlefinger coming up from the south or southeast, that you're going to have a pincer move kind of with the Boltons. And if you remember...
Go ahead. Did it shock you that Robin was so quick to say, let's help her? Because they didn't get along, did they?
Well, no, they didn't.
Sansa slapped him. I mean, it just seemed like it would odd that he would just jump at the chance to go help her. Unless he just wanted to get out of doing what he was doing, the archery and all that stuff.
Right. But I think he's basically a puppet to Littlefinger right now anyway, and anything that Littlefinger suggests, he'll go, okay, let's do it.
All right.
And if you remember, Cersei, I'm pretty sure, did promise Littlefinger if he destroyed the Boltons family, because they kind of betrayed them, didn't come to their aid, that if Littlefinger could overthrow them, then she would make him Warden of the North. So that's Littlefinger's interests. So I'm thinking he probably is wanting to come to the aid of Sansa and then try to marry her. You never know.
Yeah, but I think now that the Starks have started to reunite, I don't know if that's going to be in his future or not. I hope, anyway. But I know you're a Peter Baelish fan, so...
Yeah, but she hooked him up with.
He's cool, but I mean, a character. But she hooked him up. He hooked her up with Ramsay. There's no way.
Yeah,
right. The next episode. You know, that she's like, did you know how awful Ramsay was? And you know he's gonna lie.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. Yeah.
So onto Meereen. Now, Tyrion has invited the masters of Yunkai and Astapor to negotiate. And Grey Worm is not really happy about this. because it says, you know, why would you invite our enemies here? And Tyrion replies, you know, a wise man once told me we do not make peace with our friends, we make peace with our enemies. And Grey Worm responds with, you know, I don't make peace with the queen's enemies, I kill the queen's enemies. You know, he's very just meathead, you know. And Tyrion just like, how's that worked out for you? The fact that all you're doing is killing people and we still have the same problems.
Right.
Says, you know, I'm going to try a diplomatic approach in which Missandei interrupts and says, our queen tried that already and they tried to kill her for it. And he says, yeah, and Tyrion's like, I know that. I'm coming at this with open eyes. Just trust me. I know the horrors of slavery. And then Missandei is really clever. He's like, oh, how long were you a slave? He's just like, it was good.
Do you side with Tyrion in this, in what he's trying to do?
Because I
get where he's coming from, because if they're not going to have peace, they're going to just essentially destroy them. So he has to kind of make a deal with the devil here, just to at least stave off
right
the city getting around.
I think this is just a time play. That's all it is. It's for both sides. The same as the way Tyrion is saying, I trust that they'll follow their financial interests as it course to the masters, because Tyrion knows that they're probably not going to get rid of slavery, but he also knows he can't do anything until Dany comes back.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if I can buy some time, they'll stop the revolts, they'll stop all the violence here in Meereen. Then when Dany gets back, she can deal with it. She can say, okay, now let's go invade these other two cities and conquer them again, instead of just having chaos the whole time.
But the thing with Daenerys is she tends to just kind of follow that line of thought, is it is wrong, I will change it, and you will, you know, bend to my will. But she doesn't have that kind of more political savvy sense about her. When she comes back, will she kind of listen to Tyrion, or will she kind of go back to her, I am the mother of dragons, the unburnable, the mother of the Khaleesi now? Like, what? Like, will she kind of get a little more humble, or a little better understanding how to be political?
She has to.
But it seems like the end of this episode, while it was amazing and awesome, it just kind of reinforced her usual gameplay.
But that she had to get the troops. She had to get the back on her side. She had no power.
Yeah, but whenever she does it, she tends to do okay. But
yeah, we can get into. Go ahead.
I think what Tyrion's doing, I agree with Nick. What he's obviously, slavery is terrible. It's just it's still happening today in real life. But to get rid of it, we saw what happened back in the 18th, you know, the war between the states, how long it took to get rid of it, how many lives were lost. You know, the, I think they're like Nick's saying.
Well, there's still like resentment and everything over 100 years later.
Well, I get that. And it happens. But it just.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, in terms of trying to get peace in Meereen and all that kind of stuff, it's just like from a humanities perspective.
So if you can try and, like I said, I think he just, like Nick's saying, he's just stalling to try and get the chaos to stop, because he doesn't have the power. But of course, you know, Grey Worm and those, they're not, just because they're appalled by slaving them. I mean, they've been slaves. And like he said, he goes, you know, I was forced to do this, she was forced to do that. They don't want slavery, but to keep fighting is not the answer. But when she comes back, maybe she has more power, and then she's more political too, to go with the power. That was her downfall. She was just too, you know, I think we talked about it last season. She just was too all over the place. She made mistakes.
Right. And I kind of what Jay was addressing is that this is a welcome change, I felt, because Tyrion sees things from a logical point of view, and he's trying to negotiate where Dany never has. She's just like, okay, do you want, you either on my side, or you're, like she said tonight, like, either you're with me or I'm going to kill you. Right. And that can only work with you so much. The same as with Ramsay Bolton, not comparing her to him, but that's the only thing she knows how to do at this point, is just, you're in my way, move. And Tyrion is trying to, at least like a chess game, maneuver to where the end result's the same, but in a better timely way.
Yeah.
Well, like he was telling him, you could be rich, still have money without having slaves.
Right.
So he goes, all they want is money.
It's money, yeah. And Tyrion's dead right with that, same as you were saying with our own issue with slavery here. Like, you can't just get rid of a system and expect everything to be hunky-dory. It takes time to adjust.
Right.
And because you have to fill that void. And it doesn't matter. It didn't pertain to slavery. It's anything, any system at all. Like, you could take Medicare right now. I mean, anything that you want to replace it, it is always an adjustment period, and you have to prepare for that. You can't just blank slate it.
Yeah. And like I said,
okay. So
Khaleesi never, she never planned for anything. She just went, this is how it is. And she never had any.
Whereas, but she has dragons, like, so she kind of gets what she wants, generally. Well, for a time, shows, anyway.
But it's still,
that shows
it's still
her inexperience.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Where she, if her and Tyrion together would make a great force.
Yeah. Great force. But you can see it also, we can get to it later in the end scene, but you can see that confidence in her, whereas in Jorah and Daenerys just want her to run, she actually believes in herself at that moment. She's like, no, I got this. You know, it's just, she knew what she could do at that point. She knew how the Dothraki thought of, like, they need power.
Yeah,
right.
They respect power.
I give her, we'll get to it towards the end, but I give her much kudos for playing that very well.
Can we call Jorah Stonehands? That work?
Stonehand.
Just one.
Well, eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, we've kind of already talked about it a little bit, but inside the meeting, the slavers, obviously the masters want them to leave. And Tyrion's trying to be nice, like, oh, yeah, don't worry, we'll leave eventually. And he's like, we've already offered you to leave, and you refuse. And it's because, and then Missandei, of course, they're defensive. They don't want slavery back. And she's like, no, it's because it would have left all these millions of people enslaved. But they eventually do come to, well, sort of, a compromise. Tyrion says, okay, you have 7 years to adjust. And exactly. And this is, so just give it a chance. Like, let's try to do this, and you'll still make money. You have to figure out a new system for how you can work, and then call off the attacks. We're good. And then once this meeting's adjourned, something that surprised Missandei and Grey Worm, Tyrion then kind of flips it because they don't respect him. The old former slaves don't respect him, and they don't trust him, so he says, oh, well, don't worry, Grey Worm here agreed with me. And he's showing, he kind of teaches them how politics works, even though they don't like it, in a really fast way. It's like, oh, you've got to be on our side. We have to be united, or these people will tear us apart.
Do you think maybe the scene that they had last week, the third episode, where a lot of people didn't like the scene between Tyrion and Grey Worm, and all that. It was kind of just a weird scene, but maybe that was playing into what happened in this last night's episode? Or is it just last week was just a waste of time?
It was last week. It was it's still kind of a waste of time.
But maybe he was trying to get a feel for their personality, feel for who they are, feel for... I'm trying to save the scene. That's all I'm trying to...
Right. I think it's hopeless, but if they actually would have had it thing longer, would actually had gotten into the game, and you would have learned something more about Grey Worm's personality or his way of thinking, then yes, it could have been saved. But it wasn't. It was just kind of like, I do patrol. We talk about patrol. And,
but was Tyrion learning that, okay, he's just black and white? That he's just black and white. Maybe. And then he's very loyal. So maybe when he told him that, you know, Grey Worm is for it, he knew that Grey Worm wouldn't go against him from that conversation.
True.
I'm just trying to save the scene. I'm just trying to help out.
Just let it die.
You know, as a writer, I try to help fellow writers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we move on to Jorah and Daario. Well, I kind of compressed it, but yeah. The only thing you really knew about this, they reached Vaas Dothrak, the capital, and they disarm because he can't carry weapons in because they'll be spotted and they'll be killed immediately.
But he really likes Daario's, that one blade.
Yeah. He does like, and it's a good thing. It had a woman on that. Yeah. It had a nude woman for the handle, which is an interesting blade.
We see why
Daario actually. Yeah, exactly. Daario actually spots Jorah's grayscale, though.
Yes.
And he says, don't worry. it didn't touch you. Which, you know, it's kind of gotten to that point now because it's not spreading fast, obviously. What is this? Where's this grayscale going to play into it, into the story?
He'll accidentally touch on something because why can't you, like, you know, sew the sleeve or get a new sleeve? Why do you have to have the one that's ripped open where the grayscale is? Come on.
Or get a new shirt.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You just let it float in the wind.
All the distance they traveled, there wasn't a gap anywhere where you could get a new shirt or something. I don't know.
Put some lotion on it. I don't know.
Rub some dirt in it.
Well, can't you cut it out or something? Just cut it.
That was my first thing too. Yeah. Like, just cut off your arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in World War Z, just whack, you know, as soon as you get touched.
Yeah. Well, like Jamie has a fake hand, right? Little gold hand. Couldn't he have one? Gold
Agreed. Arm. I agree. I support that thought.
There we go.
Yeah. But they get they roughly get through the city. Have to kill a couple guys that spot them. And I don't see why that guy didn't believe he was a wine merchant. I mean, seemed plausible to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's just the Dothraki. They just want to start murdering people. So yeah. It could just
although,
be there.
Yeah, like, I think we all should have been born a Dothraki. I mean, that's
right.
Okay. And they,
I guess, you kind of, if as my wife would say, if you want to live that lifestyle.
Oh.
Well, if I'm born that way, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
They have more fun than most of us, trust. Yeah, I believe that. But they happen to discover Dani as she's going to make water with
I'm going to say that now when I have to go number one. She's like, I have to go make water.
Make water.
I get to pick Walter.
Well, that's an impressive trick.
Yeah.
Oh.
She can survive fire and she makes water. So there you go.
She makes water. Oh, she fire and ice.
Place. Yeah.
But yeah, experience like Jorah, once they capture him, Jorah tries to get her escape. She refuses. She says, no, we can do more and you're going to help. Which another scene where someone says, you're going to help. Because there's a lot of that in this episode. Then it cuts to King's Landing, where we see Margaery taken from her cell. And weren't you totally expecting the shame or confess?
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't get it.
Shame! Shame!
Confess.
Confess.
Well, with the good cop, bad cop, you know, we're getting more good cop right now with Margaery, which she seems somewhat wise to.
I can't stand the other. What's her name? The confessed lady. I can't stand her. I just I think I like Ramsay more. If that's possible. I just don't like her. She never smiles. Even when she brought her there, she had this look like, whatever.
Okay, so you're saying Jon Snow? She became Jon Snow.
Where she did. I don't want to be here. She should confess. Go ahead and do what you want, High Priestess. Did you see her look, though? She had a look of disgust.
Yeah. And she just shoved her in the room.
Yeah. Anyway.
But she's taken to the High Sparrow once again in that uniquely lit room. And they discuss... it's an interesting conversation, really. He's like, what would you do if I let you go right now? She says, I'd go back to my family. And she says, but then you'd be returning to a family that is nothing but power, money, which is that's your sin. As if you were wanting to return to that life of sin. And he does. He tells this story, his own story, and that harpens back to season 4, I think, where Cersei meets him for the first time. She says, yes. Why don't you wear shoes?
Yeah,
right.
And he tells this story of, like, he was a cobbler and he made expensive shoes,
Air Jordans,
and he would Air Jordans, yes. And he,
I think they're called
the
Air
money.
Mountains, though. Actually,
that was called the, what?
Air Mountains.
Yeah, Air Mountains. Air Mountains.
You're zombies now.
Yeah.
sorry, he said, but all the money. No, that's what the podcast is. and then he said, yeah, I would take the money from my shoemaking to live just a glimpse of these rich people's lives for himself. You know, he would drink all night, spend money, eat great meals, and share women. said, but then when the nights were over, he could see what his sins were. You know, it was it. And then, so once you can see your own sins, that's the purpose of, I guess, his life. That's what he felt. And so that's why he left his own shoes there, and he's been barefoot ever since, that he was living a lie.
He's actually a very convincing I was almost believing him, falling for
yeah.
him. He's actually very, very good at what he's doing, what he does.
Yep.
But then, yeah, he, after telling this really great story, and you can see, like, I mean, like I was saying earlier, like, was Marjorie, is this a con? Is she just saying everything or agreeing with him so he might let her go? And you can see that he puts his hand out and says, let's go see your brother. And we see Loras, which is almost kind of like Theon. You know, he's a completely broken man.
Yeah, what are they doing to him? Because they're doing some stuff to him.
Yeah, they've got to, because, I mean, he's a homosexual, which is illegal in the Seven Kingdoms, so we don't know.
They're doing something to him because he's broken, like you said, Theon. It's exactly a good call, because it's exactly like Theon. He just wants to be done. He says, "Please make it stop." He's not just being held there, you know, in a dirty, rotten place. Things are being done to him that we don't know is actually being done to him.
We find out. But yeah, like, I mean, because Marjorie's trying to encourage him to be strong, and that's what he comes back with, is all I want is to stop. And then he says, help me again. Like, and they say, it's no, like, don't you realize it's a game? Shouldn't say a game, but, you know, it's like they want me to come in here and help them to tear you down more so they can win. He comes back, he's let them win. Yeah, he's done.
Yep. Yeah, he's out.
And so, yeah, the next episode, or maybe the next episode when Jaime and the Tyrell army get there, it should be some pretty interesting fireworks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to die.
Yeah, I'll talk about it more whenever we get to the quick council meeting or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, then a quick little scene. It goes to Maester Pycelle is counseling King Tommen. And yeah, I don't really know what he was saying to him, but Cersei enters.
Well,
he was kind of, because again, I
watch with subtitles, but he was talking about the High Sparrow and was kind of giving me advice on what to do with that.
Oh, okay. Cersei comes in and basically just says, "Get out!" And he says, you can see the difference now. Pycelle is kind of going, "Well, you don't have the authority to tell me to leave. I'm advising the king." And then Tommen, which you're not sure if he does it because he wants to impress his mother or what, but he does. He just kind of says, okay, now you can leave, in which he does leave. And see here, Tommen then confesses to his mother that, you know, we shouldn't upset the High Sparrow because he's holding Marjorie. So just try to be cautious because I'm trying to think of her life. And then this is, to me, a really interesting thing and what the producers did, because he says, I have a secret that the High Sparrow told me, but you can't tell anybody. Can I trust you, mother? And then she said,
you should know that mothers are blabbermouths. Don't tell them.
I'm glad Jay said that, and not anybody else. That was Jay.
Okay, maybe not all mothers, just my mother. So just from my experience.
Oh, no lie there.
But what's interesting about it is that it cuts away right here. So you actually don't see what Tommen says. You know, he could have told her anything. Because the next thing we see is Cersei and Jaime walking to the small council and basically saying that Marjorie is going to be forced to do the Walk of Atonement, the same one Cersei had to do, walk naked through the streets. So this is some kind of ploy, because they made a point also with Tommen saying, like, you don't really like Marjorie, do you, mother? And of course she doesn't answer, because she doesn't like her. She doesn't like any competition. I like to think that she's making this up, this whole Walk of Atonement thing, because she wants them to kill either Marjorie or Loras, or, I mean, yeah, ultimately the High Sparrow as well. But what will happen? And it almost makes you want to think that the High Sparrow told Tommen this secret, knowing that he would tell his mother and knowing that Cersei would do whatever she's going to do. Because if someone attacks the church, what side are the people going to side on?
Yeah.
It's just that it's an interesting events that might happen fairly soon. We don't know how this is going to play.
Well, yeah, and I think personally, we've already seen the Walk of Shame once. It would kind of, from a story perspective, it would be redundant to see it again. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think whatever this Tyrell army will come in, and I don't think it's going to end well for Margaery. I think she is a goner whenever this insurgency happens. I think she will be one of the victims in the process.
I think she's a survivor. I think she survives it.
I think she's dead. I think she's super dead.
I think she's super alive. She's a survivor.
What's your thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, I kind of wonder like where Tommen will be in all this. Because if Tommen tries to go in there as well, like it makes me wonder if Tommen dies and Margaery dies, the only people that are left that could be next in line is Cersei again. And what's to prevent her from marrying Jaime, and then they're the new king and queen. There's a lot of ways this could go. And, yeah, I kind of think the same thing. Like Margaery could easily be killed in all this. And that's what I would think the Queen of Thorns would object to that. It's like, oh, she just wants to storm the Sept when they've got their own army. What's to prevent them just killing my granddaughter exactly. and grandson?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a little bit careless in this because I do not see this going well for the two Tyrells.
No. Or if she does die, then maybe Tom and he becomes more assertive.
Well, I like because, Nick's theory that they both die.
Yeah, if she dies, there has to be some payoff, though, I think, other than her just dying.
What does she have to offer? Like, at this point, like, she's kind of...
But if she does die, then I think Tommen should become more of a leader, more.
But it's already proven he just can't do it, so just kill him.
But if his wife dies, he's in love with his wife. He hasn't attacked because he's trying to save his wife. If she dies, maybe he just goes all.
But it's not that he hasn't attacked because he doesn't want to hurt his wife. He hasn't attacked because he's weak.
He is weak, but he is also afraid of her dying.
Like, if anything, George R. R. Martin is very to the point with character flaws. Character strengths and the character right. flaws, and his flaw isn't because he wants to. His flaw is that he's weak.
He could be weak, but this could be something that makes him stronger.
But
it could give him the eye of the tiger.
In like a Rocky movie, yes. In Game of Thrones, he dies.
All right. Okay.
That's just my thought.
I mean, because it's already kind of widely believed that Tommen's going to die. Because it's in Cersei's prophecy that all of her kids will die before she dies. So she already believes this. And exactly like Jay's saying, Tommen is weak. And so either he's going to die from either Cersei's idea, from being just a dumb idea and him following it, or his blind belief in his mother. And she'll kill him herself. You never know. I mean, that's kind of how I think of it. Because it wouldn't surprise me if Cersei did, because she's always wanted power. She wants to be respected. She's always been overshadowed by Jaime and her father. She wants to be queen, and you've seen it in these last couple episodes. So you think the Queen of Thorns just
digs at her. I get that, but you think she'd kill her own son to get that power?
I don't think it will happen. It could happen at the end of this season, but I have a feeling that.
I mean, at that point, if she kills her own son, are we done with her? I mean, she didn't kill Joffrey, for love of God.
No, she didn't. That's true.
And she was upset when Joffrey died. She couldn't. She knew Joffrey was a loose cannon. And I would be shocked if she wouldn't kill, but she's
putting him in harm's way with this stupid plan. If he's part of the surge or whatever.
I think she's right. always loved her kids.
I agree. I don't disagree.
I forget we go back to that one scene last season where she was a child and she was told that all her kids would die, right?
Well, we weren't shown then. She said it at the beginning of the season.
We saw it last season, though, when she was
but
a child.
But we didn't – in that scene, she didn't actually – did she not say – did we see it at that point that her kids would die? That wasn't said until this season, correct?
Until this season, yeah. correct.
She was told
and there's
something.
Still one more thing left. That hasn't been said yet either.
Yeah.
All right. If she kills her own child, then I'm done with. She can be. I want her dead. Because this well, kid, like, this kid is actually a good kid. I mean, he seems like a normal, well adjusted person.
And that's gonna save him how in this show?
I'm just saying, in this family, you know.
No.
Should get something. Okay.
No.
Would Jamie let him?
No,
let
I'm not. I don't think she's gonna kill him. I just think that her cockamamie idea is gonna kill him.
Well, it could be. Mm-hmm. And the High Sparrow could be like putting it, you know, like I think as Nick said, could be putting this all in, you know, like telling the secret. Oh, don't tell your mom. So he goes, runs, tells his mom.
Yeah,
could be right. Setting the whole thing up.
Right, because like, who was he saying that to? Jamie during the Marcella's funeral. You know, is that we power, but all of us can overthrow an empire, and that's because that was his game plan. And obviously, this could be one of his moves to tell Tommen that, to make them make the first move.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I see it.
Yep.
Okay. And then another huge distance travel. We have Theon returning to the Iron Islands in one episode by boat. And that's what I wonder. It's like, okay, he walked from Winterfell all the way to the Iron Islands with probably no shoes, no food, no money. I was like, how did he get on the boat?
Would walk 500 miles, yeah. And if I would walk 500 miles.
Da, 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 da.
We walked a long way with he walked without a lot of things.
Well, maybe he, you know, he just kind of offered, I don't know, let's just not question it. Let's just let it be, and then
Well, he's a little lighter.
Couldn't
so
be sexual
maybe could,
favors.
Well, maybe. He's a little lighter, so he could walk faster, right?
Oh, but he's got less toes.
Yep. It's true. It's very true.
Mm-hmm. But it's true. He walks into Yara's chambers, and she's, I mean, justifiably mad at him because he betrayed her and let her men die while she was trying to save him. And that was back in season 4?
Yeah, I think season 4.
And, yeah. And he, of course, he apologizes, and he's weak. He's kind of crying. He's like, he broke me. He broke me into 1,000 pieces. And she's like, yeah, I know. He sent us one of them.
Yeah. Like,
do you still have it?
So I think, again, the two themes of this episode are help and hashtag awkward two main things we've seen.
Absolutely. But, you know, she kind of wisely, and because I hadn't even thought of that either, he just so happened to show up the day before the King's Moot, which is where they're going to elect a new king of the Iron Islands. And she's, you know, threatened by it. Like, what, do you want to be king? What makes you think that you would ever be king? And he goes, I don't want to be king. And she's like, well, what do you want? And he says, let me help you. You know, you should rule the Iron Islands. And to which she kind of sighs a relief with this.
But yeah. How's he going to help? How's he going to help?
Like, he puts his word in. It's like,
yeah, who's
going to help? Or he murders people. One of the two.
You think he's in position to murder people?
That's my crackpot theory. And I'm sick of it.
I have no idea.
I'm not picking him as my vice president.
Tomlin's dead, Marjorie's dead, and he's going to kill some people. Hashtag Jay's crackpot theory.
Okay, there we go.
But yeah.
And then the next thing we go back to Winterfell, where Osha is brought in before Ramsay, and he comments that she cleaned her up good, which they did. And this scene kind of upset, I think, a lot of people, because like, we hadn't seen Osha in a while. We wanted to see more of Osha, and then just ain't going to happen. But she makes a case to that she only served the Starks because they put a knife to her throat. And afterwards, she thought, oh, I can sell Rickon for a good price. So she, you know, Ramsay owes her money. To which she's like, no, you don't really have any bearing to make that argument. So what do you want? And she tries to seduce Ramsay the same way she seduced the guards when she escaped originally with Rickon. But And the thing, I thought it was really brilliantly done because he puts that dagger there, kind of just encouraging her to do it. And when, and I never thought for 1 minute she was ever going to kill Ramsay. It's just too weak.
You wouldn't. She shouldn't. We talked about last week. Who do you think is going to kill Ramsay? And she'd be the. Come on. There's no way.
No. It'd be a weak death for Ramsay. But
actually,
you know,
after this episode, I think Sansa's the one that's going to do it.
Yeah,
it
I agree.
Could be very. Yeah.
Sansa or Reek, I think, would be the top two.
I think it has to be Sansa now. It has to be.
Yeah, I'd be happy with either one. Theon, Sansa, Reek, or Sansa. It'd be a nice thing. It could be one of those moments where I can battle. I think it's. I don't know. I mean, whereas he's already wounded, and then Sansa finishes him off or something. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep.
Because like you can see like his men betraying him, like stabbing him, kind of like a Julius Caesar type thing, and then Sansa being like the last one who gets him or something.
No, I wanted to do it just somehow. She has to do it on her own.
Oh, okay.
It'd make her character go full circle. I mean, she was kind of weak in the beginning, and now she seems so strong and fiery that I think she could do it. And what would throw him off is he'd never see it coming.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
But, yeah.
That's my crackpot theory.
Not as good as mine, but, you know, kudos for putting in an effort.
But you see Osha straddling Ramsay and slowly reaching for the dagger the whole time. And he's telling her kind of in a way that he already knows what she's about to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's not listening, obviously. And then Reek has told him everything and how they escaped. And then as soon as she grabs the dagger, he pulls it out, stabs her right in the neck. And sadly, Osha dies.
It didn't bother me too much. Like, I get it. She's a bit of a fan favorite. But, at this point, I'm so desensitized to characters I like being killed. Like, it doesn't.
I was kind of upset she died that way. But, you know. You knew once she got life was not going to be good for her either way there. So I guess it could have been worse.
Well, you kind of wondered that because when they unveiled them last episode, Rickon and her there, it's like, okay, Rickon has value. Osha does not have any value. So the only what's left for her character to do other than die is like, oh, do you want to see Ramsay rape her a couple episodes? You know, like, no, we've done that. Yeah, so done that, there's no point.
Or feed her to the dogs. It's just like we've seen that. So, yeah, just – let her go out a quick death.
Yes, this is about as peaceful of a death as she can ask for, unfortunately.
Gah.
He doesn't break a sweat, though. He stabs someone in the neck and just goes, okay.
He's crazy.
This apple is way too good to waste.
He makes the Mad King look, well, I guess he's still worse, but still. Ramsay, not a good guy.
Not a good guy.
Awkward.
Okay, and then we move on to the wall where Tormund Giantsbane shows Brienne the art of seduction. Crickets? I love that, though. Like, she's sitting there, they're all eating this kind of really bad dinner, and he's just over, like, just gnawing on that, I guess, turkey leg or something, and just looking at her going, oh, I like you.
They have their own style, you know. Oh.
They do, yeah. Well, I mean, you think that's why he's named Giantsbane is because supposedly he had sex with a giant at some point. And so she's a big lady, so he probably finds her pretty attractive.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
How tall is she? Is she like 5'10"?
No, she's like 6'1".
Yeah, I bet she's taller than that.
Really?
I bet she's taller than 6 foot, yeah.
That's so tall.
Anyway. I think I looked it up today.
Yeah. Six what? You're pulling
like,
away from the mic.
Have y'all been watching... 6'1", yeah. Have y'all been watching The Night Manager at all?
No,
on AMC?
No.
It's a six-part series with the guy who plays Loki. And the girl on that, there's a blonde girl on that, she's 6'3", and you're just like, whoa. Anyway.
Yeah. I've seen – is that a good show?
Part 4 aired last week, and part 5 is tomorrow. It builds a little slow at first, but it's gotten this last episode was really good. So I'm liking where it's going. So I would recommend it.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Back to Game of Thrones. Let's see here. Oh, a letter arrives for Jon Snow from Ramsay Bolton, which is called the Pink Letter in the books because of the pink wax that Ramsay uses to seal it.
Yeah.
And he is taunting Jon this whole time. You know, come and see.
So this must have been before he was stabbed in the books then?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I guess there's not a lot of what happens in the book section, but this, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. But
okay,
yeah,
then we'll say
this is kind of what... Okay. But yeah, it's the same thing. It kind of taunts him, saying, you know, I have your brother Rickon imprisoned. Give me back my wife, Sansa, and I'll let you and your wildlings live. If not, then I'll ride up there, kill every wildling, wife, child, and all, and I'll let everyone rape your sister. Just an awful letter, basically saying, you know, do as I say, give me back my wife, or I'm going to kill everything. So,
love Ramsay.
John, yeah.
XOXO, hugs and kisses.
XO. It does have an X-ray symbol. So.
Showing Ramsay's just lack of strategy here, he basically helped get the wildlings on board.
But is that what he
wants? Yeah, exactly, because...
That's what he wants. He wants to kill them, right?
He doesn't want them unified.
Wait.
I don't think he thinks he...
But he does.
He has no fear. He's psycho.
But it's just bad strategy. If it's like two sides of the coin, you have Daenerys and Ramsay. There's not a lot of strategy there. It's just
there's not because blunt he's just force. He's just nuts. He just has.
That's what I'm saying. It's just blood. Like it's a bad move because now he's unified the wildlings to Jon. So that's a powerful thing.
But it does play into the last week's episode though, where the Umbers. We're saying that we need to unite to kill off the wildlings. So it's just a progression of, we need to go to war and kill off all these wildlings and Jon Snow.
Yep. Plus, if he can defeat them, he gains power. He gains prestige in the area, right? Because the wildlings are not loved. So if he kills them, he gets more power. He gets actually some love. Hey, this Ramsay guy, he's not so bad. He got rid of the wildlings. Right? And that's how probably his thought process. He just that's what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the actress is plays Brienne is 6'3".
Okay,
I looked it up.
Captain Phasma.
Pew pew.
So. John decides, he didn't decide, but he's basically saying, he looks over at Tormund and says, how many wildlings do you have? And he says, 2,000. And Sansa says, well, the Boltons have 5,000. And to which, that's obviously you're not going to win with faith. Makes the case like, well, you've got to rally some of the lords of the north because they will come to us. We're Starks.
Yeah.
They have a giant.
It's all they
need.
That's
true. That's got to be good for something, right?
All I know is if they do go to battle and then you have the Vale on their side as well, this would be a pretty awesome battle for this season that I'm getting pretty excited about.
Is there any way that Ramsay wins?
No.
And he goes through with what he said in that letter. There's just no way the fans. There's no. I don't think the fans would put up with it. Would they? Anyway, I mean, Jay, you're the crackpot theory master here today. Any way that happens, is any way that Ramsay wins this? Any way Ramsay survives, he has to die, right? He has to die.
I would say it's unlikely. I would say unlikely.
And I think it's Ramsay's death should probably even be this season because they're trying to wrap it up.
I agree.
He's not one of the main threats. Nope. You've still got to get Dany to Westeros. You've still got to have the battle with the White Walkers. There's so much stuff to happen in the later seasons, so you've got to kind of get him out of the way this season, I feel.
Plus, Ramsay, we can't hate him any more than we already do. What else could he possibly do?
Yeah.
We
had some reminders this season of why we hate him.
I don't know if we needed reminders, but he did, he killed his stepmother by dogs and a young baby. had them.
What's I'm saying? Like, the good writing here is it reminds you why you hate him. There isn't any redemption story here for Mr. Ramsey. And he's more of a new.
So it's not going to be like Jamie, where we didn't like Jamie at first. Exactly. And I was like, hey, I like Jamie. Exactly. Jamie's a good guy. You don't think there's like.
There's no character story arc here. It's just he is what he is.
Ramsey finds a wounded animal and brings it back to life or something.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I've always liked dogs. It's the one people I could communicate with. No, none of that. None of that here. Because I mean, in my mind, Ramsey's a nuisance, not a big bad. He's not a big bad. He's not the White Walker army, all that kind of stuff. So that's the next couple seasons, I would think. This is the here and the now. He's a nuisance, and nuisances should be shut up or killed. And there you go.
All right. You convinced me.
And then, so you're moving to the final scene, the epic scene. We have all the cows in their council meeting, and they request that Dany be brought in so they can decide if she's going to live out her days as a Khaleesi in the hut or, I guess, kill her. And they're just discussing, like, you know, some of them would like to have sex with her. Some of them think she's gross because she's so pale. And then Dany interrupts and says, well, do you want to know what I think? And, yeah, the cow says, no.
They're pretty brutal with her. I mean, they were pretty – it was a lot of stuff was said that, you know, you can't say and get away with.
Well, again, that's the Dothraki way, right?
I get it, but I'm just saying if I were to say that now.
Well, exactly. You can't say that. That's the whole point.
I get it.
It shows you they are more uncivilized and more ruthless.
Right. But they don't care what anything that Dany has to say. She's not a cow. She's not even a part of their group as of now until they decide. And she goes, I know. She goes, I've been here before. I've talked of conquering the world. But you do not speak of these things. And this is where I was saying, like, earlier, this is really interesting. Because she's observed this from listening to them when she didn't speak and then hearing them talk. They're talking about just conquering, getting horses or conquering little villages. It's all petty stuff that little lords do. She goes, no, I'm here to conquer the world. You're small. You're not fit to lead the Dothraki, but I am. And you know, we've seen confidence in Dany before, but not like this.
Yeah.
I mean, the honus that she has, you know, just
major kudos here. But,
And then the cows get upset naturally, and they say that, you know, oh, they decide that she's not going to be allowed to live out her days, that she's going to be raped by every single person in the village, and if there isn't left, the horses will rape her. Because why should we ever serve you? And, of course, you can see her over there just approaching the fire and puts her hand on it, to which one of them kind of sees that she's not in any pain, that she just knocks over. Well, she says, you know, if you're not going to serve me, then you'll die. And then burns the place down,
which was awesome. Like when she just puts her hand on the thing, and then these guys that look like what? It's
like, what?
I messed up.
Oh, you mean that's true? That whole story is true. Oops.
Ruh-roh. But
and
I was.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I love because there's a lot of talk about Emilia Clarke how she's wasn't going to do any more nude scenes. But I love this nude scene in a sense because it wasn't like from a sexual perspective. It was like her showing her power, like her womanhood, you know, this mother of dragons. And like a lot of times there's a lot of criticisms of Game of Thrones where they just kind of portray women as just sexual objects or whatever. But I thought like this scene, her standing there, you know, shoulders back, in power, in full control of the situation, and everybody bowing to her. These, you know, very ruthless, you know, testosterone-driven Dothraki bowing down to, you know, their queen, their Khaleesi, because she took out all of these powerful people, which is what they respect as the power. I just thought it was a really, really, like, from a visual standpoint, I thought it was really empowering. And it was a really cool close to the episode.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, you're talking about the nude scene, because it's in her contract. She doesn't have to do anymore if she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been nude in the last two seasons. And for this episode, exactly, it wasn't a sexual thing. It was what you're saying is it's just like, I'm proud. Here I am. I'm woman, you know. Yeah. And
was that
and
her
she doesn't.
Was it her or body double?
No, it was her.
Yeah.
It was her? Okay.
It was her. I saw it on Yahoo News or something today. It said that it was her. She already said there was no body double. It was her. She said that she was a little insecure because she's 29 now, I think. And she said, you know, all my other nude scenes were in my mid to early 20s. And she goes, so not everything's as tight as it used to be. She goes, so there's that natural insecurity of women. But she said, no, she was, I was out there and I was proud of it.
Yeah. It was, just, it was a really cool scene.
Well, someone put on our Facebook
page. Now she has her.
They said it was a good episode for women. It showed, you know, Sansa.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it was a good, you know, because like Jay said, that they haven't always portrayed women in a positive light, but this episode they did.
Well, and then it also, I think, Nick, you're kind of probably getting this. I'm thinking that, you know, for a long time, I was like, okay, will she go back and somehow get the Dothraki army to join her? Or unite the Dothraki to join her cause. And it seems like this is that moment, which is really cool as well.
Right, she has her army. And that's what I said last week, too, I think, was that because I had felt that they might burn her. I said that, and this kind of wasn't exactly what I said, but it was had the same effect. It's like, would they burn her and then everyone see that she can't be burned, so they would rally to her? And they did it in a really smart, clever way of just like, oh, I've gotten rid of the leaders. Now you're my subject. I am the new Khaleesi, Khalasar, or whatever.
Which, right. Again, it makes even more sense because the Dothraki respect the power, right? Like, they respect, you know, who's the strongest.
Strength.
That right. Strength. So that it's even more, like, from we're talking about good writing, really good writing there. Also love that, you know, I think maybe a lot of people expected maybe, you know, Dragon would come and save her again. No, she did it herself, which I thought was another really cool part of that.
Right.
But
yeah, she did it herself. She didn't rely on dragons. She didn't rely on an army of Unsullied. She did it herself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It was really, really cool. Awesome, awesome.
Was the perfect way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no better way. There's no, out of the possible ways to pull it off, I thought that was definitely the best way. All right, so that closes out the episode. Now it's time to get into what happens in the book stays in the book. Where Nick goes through things in the episode that were featured in the book, but maybe there's not much today, but he has something, at least a millisecond.
No phone calls?
No phone calls. So if people want to send in their thoughts.
What are you people out there doing?
You can do so at 385-309-0311, call anytime, or email us at lostpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll read or listen to your feedback on the show and discuss it live. Well, you'll be hearing it later, but we'll be talking about it live on the show.
And we won't make fun of you.
We promise.
Much.
Let's get into what happens in the book stays in the book.
Yeah, sure. There's not a lot with this one because the only things with the books left are Arya, Sam, and little tidbits here and there with Jaime and some other characters. But it's a little short one, like with Meereen. Like, Tyrion's intentions to negotiate with the Masters was actually done by Histar, the guy that Dany was marrying, but then got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He did that in the books. And they didn't come to Meereen. He actually went to them, and he actually allowed for slavery to just endure forever. So I kind of like what they did here in the show a little bit better, because it was more Tyrion style of just negotiating.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's really of note it has to do with the pink letter, Ramsay's letter, because as you said, Jay, this letter arrived before Jon is killed or stabbed in book 5. And the reason why, one of the main reasons why Jon gets killed is not because the wildlings are beneath the wall. It's because Jon decides to go down and take on the Boltons with the wildlings and the Night's Watch, which that is abandoning his vows because they're not supposed to partake in battles of the realms or things to the south. So that's one of the reasons why they killed him. But the other thing, that the thing that's really a more interesting note though, is a lot of people don't believe that the pink letter was written by Ramsay Bolton in the books. In the show, they've kind of shown it straightforward that it was written by Ramsay. but I'll get to that in a second with the show. But with the books, he makes similar demands, but it's more, let's see here, it says, he claims to kill Stannis, which Stannis has already done the show. He claims that he holds Mance Rayder, which on the show they've killed Mance, but Mance is still alive in the books. And that he demands that Jon deliver Jane Poole, which is supposed to be Arya. He demands Theon back, Melisandre, Selyse, and Shireen, who are still alive, as well as Mance's baby, which is actually Gilly's baby. But But what's crazy about it is, and it's kind of the same thing, is the wording of the letter is what makes it interesting. Is if you guys remember, even in the show, he kept saying, "Come see, bastard," and he kept calling him bastard.
Yeah.
Now, Ramsay was a bastard, and he knows how hurtful that word is, and he didn't like even be called it himself. So it's kind of out of character for Ramsay to say that. And also, every letter in the show and in the book, if you've noticed, what does Ramsay send with letters? He usually sends a little bit of flesh because he's a flayer. Right. There was no flesh in this letter. So it's just one of those things that people have kind of debated, like who really wrote this letter. So for the show's reasons, I could see Littlefinger writing it to kind of taunt John to helping or making another mistake. Maybe he wants to kill Sansa. Maybe he wants to kill John. Yeah, it could be anybody really that wrote it on the show, but most likely Ramsay wrote it on the show. But
yeah, you're right. He would send some kind of flesh. He would send some kind of body part.
Or like a piece of Rickon or something like that, I would think.
Yeah,
exactly. Why wouldn't he send Rickon's ear or something or a finger? Exactly. It's uncharacteristic for him not to
direwolf.
Right.
Something like that.
In the show, though, I mean, the books. but in the, it's because of the books. That's why. This is called the pink letter theory, if anybody wants to look it up, if you're out there book readers. And obviously you are if you're listening to this part. But in the books, a lot of people think it's Mance Rayder because Mance Rayder's still alive. He wants to go down to Winterfell to retrieve a horn, which is a. They might get to that in the show. They might not. And if you look at the wording of it, he says, like, you know, we have killed your false king. Ramsay would not care about Stannis being the king because he doesn't even care who Stannis is. There's like you just have to know the wording of it. So it's just one of those things. Like it's a debate who wrote this letter, and I think they're kind of trying to do that. I think in the show too, because we'll find out though.
Interesting. That's really like a just adds more. I guess it shows you the subtlety in which George R. R. writes the books versus the TV show is probably a little bit more direct.
Exactly.
And I get why they do it on the TV show because I mean the subtlety maybe is just harder to do when it's visual versus
well written. The book is how many pages?
10 billion.
Each of them. Yeah, each book. There's some that are under 1,000. There's some that are over 1,000. So it's easy just to say 1,000 pages for each book.
And the episode's what, 50 minutes? So
right, 52. Yeah.
But
I mean, there's actually a couple of really long theories out there, and I could talk to you about the pink letter theory, but it would be another episode to itself. So if anybody's just really curious, just Google pink letter theory, and you can read all about it.
Nice. Awesome.
And I already talked about that.
We're good. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, again, you always say, well, there's not much left, but you always bring up something very interesting and very, has me really intrigued and enjoying it. So thank you again for another fantastic What Happens in the Book Stays in the Book.
And if you keep Jay's interest this long, that's doing something, Nick. Good job.
Exactly.
usually Jay's off sleeping at this point.
All right, guys. Well, that will wrap up this week's Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. Again, if you'd like to send in your feedback to discuss here, we have a fantastical expert that has at least somewhat decent enough internet.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't have to be bragging about it. I got it.
But Nick, thank you again. You can just call it 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
And you can also send us an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. If you've liked Nick on this show, He is also one of our guest hosts on the Married Man Show, which we're going to be recording after this one. So definitely check that out. We have a rotating cast of four guest hosts.
And if you don't like him, listen anyway.
Yeah, exactly. send in hate mail to the Married Man when Nick's on. That'd be great. But either way, check him out there. That will do it for this week's episode. We want to thank Eckhart Richter, Attack from Tokyo, and Brad from Chicago for contributing a significant amount over at our Patreon page at patreon.com/JayandJack. If you would like to become a patron today, you can. Just go to jayandjack.com, become a patron. We have a full list of all of our patrons there. $1 or $500, whatever you can contribute, it helps make these shows possible.
$1 million. We wouldn't turn it down.
No, not at all. All right, guys, that will do it. We'll see you next week for the fifth episode, already halfway through this season. Man, time flies.
Game of Thrones has to be the fast. It goes so fast.
Well, the episodes, not necessarily the pacing.
I'm talking about because you wait for 9 months for it to get here, and it's like, is it over already?
Yeah.
It's just one of those shows that you can't wait for, because all the episodes to me are good episodes. That there's no drag. To me, there's no drag in them.
It's like Deadwood when we watch it. It's like, wait, there's only three episodes left. It just came back. No.
Yeah, exactly. We see the same thing with Deadwood.
But
I'm already complaining. I got six episodes left. I'm already complaining.
Exactly. So. Exactly. All right, guys. Until next time, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.